When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
We do it every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We power rank the power rankings. Four power rankings out there that come out on Tuesday morning that we subscribe to in this exercise, and we rank them based on how they assess the Houston Texans. SI.com, ESPN.com, The Athletic, and CBSSports.com. In no particular order did I just recite them. Now we're going to put them in a particular order as we take a look. They all just dropped these within the last hour or so. And I will say this, before we get to the rankings for the Texans in each of these, is that if you're looking to get excited about the Houston Texans, and I think there's plenty of reasons to be excited about the Houston Texans, still plenty of reasons to be concerned, but I think overall, more excited than concerned right now after they win last night, 7-4, a couple easy games coming up. In each of these rankings we're about to hit, Seth, other than one, which has the Bills third, all of these rankings have Detroit 1, Buffalo 2. The two best teams in football, according to these polls, are Detroit and Buffalo, who, granted, at home, not on the road, but still, you beat the Buffalo Bills in Week 5, and you probably should have beaten the Detroit. If you can just score a point in the second half of that Lions game, there's a good chance that you probably win that game, too.
Well, so, if you play the old if game, you know, if Nico Collins, if Will Anderson, if Kamari Lassiter out there. But, yeah, right. Realistically, objectively, yeah, you slugged it out with that team.
That's who, yeah, and my point is, like, that is, by definition, that's your ceiling. I mean, those are literally teams that you've either beaten or played toe-to-toe with. Again, at home, but still, like, you at least for the Lions, if you're going to meet them again, it'll be on a neutral field, you know?
So. They've shown the, right, and you know, you can go back to the Bills game and talk about the receivers Josh Allen had at the time, whatever. Like, yes, everybody deals with injuries. The upside in the ceiling is still there.
Yes.
That's the whole thing, and I think that's why people get frustrated. And the Cowboys are such a bad team that you can't take too much from destroying them 34-10 even. That's how bad they are.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get the guy myself still have big reservations. But Nico Collins also only played 30 snaps in that game. You know, I think Nico Collins made an impact and made a difference in the way they could operate, but they were still being very careful with Nico Collins. So we still haven't seen the full effect of hopefully him changing and making the offense better. Doesn't change a lot of the issues with the offensive line, but it makes it a lot easier to function.
I didn't realize it was that few of snaps. I mean, I noticed at the end of the game when they're closing things out, and you've got Robert Woods on one side and Xavier Hutchinson on the other, which, by the way, I'm all for. Like, Tank wasn't in there either. Totally cool with that. Like, take your guys that are injury-prone in a 17-point game and leave them on the bench. If you think you can steer this ship in just by handing it to Joe Mixon and dinking and dunking to these other guys and just play the clock, cool. Totally cool with it.
And realistically, too, when you think about the defensive performance, it was frustrating when the Cowboys scored 10 points. The one big turban play was the thing that really got gave the Cowboys any hint of a chance. The rest of the defensives, and that was when they were playing man. They rotated a single high coverage on that play. The bend but don't break strategy that they were using, people were getting really frustrated by. And yet you look up at it and, all right, the Cowboys scored 10 points. The Texans forced a bunch of turnovers. Eventually the pass rush grabbed hold without Will Anderson, without Kamari Lassiter out there on the field. I was A-okay with the defensive performance last night, especially with the way they played in the second half.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so let's get to the power rankings. We power rank the power rankings. And of these four, to me, a distant fourth right now. SI.com. What do they have against your Houston Texans? The Texans beat the Cowboys last night 34-10. They are down three spots in SI.com. Boy, what
they phoned it. They had this written before the game even
began. Now, that's a possibility. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a possibility, which is a big problem. You know, like, hey, man, like that's where you have two versions of the power rankings, one if the Texans win, one if the Texans lose. They're down three spots to 16, so they're barely in the upper half of teams, according to SI.com. Just to give you some context, the teams that they are around in the rankings, just ahead of them, Seattle 5-5, and the 6-5 Broncos are just ahead of the Texans, who themselves are just ahead of the Falcons, who got beat 38-6 this week, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 4-6. Here's what they say about the Texans on SI.com. After Cooper Rush coughed up a fumble leading to a knockout blow defensive touchdown, this game stopped looking close. This is a, quote, win your clunker special for the Texans, but I have a very conservative position on them in the power rankings thanks to an inescapable feeling that I shouldn't trust them. C.J. Stroud has not hit triple digits on his passer rating since October 13th now. That was the game against the Patriots. Since October 20th, Stroud has thrown just 2 touchdowns to 3 interceptions.
Yeah, and I think that's the most telling is that, this is no secret. This offense is just not functioning like a Super Bowl caliber offense. You get it. You can't, and when you talk about, you shouldn't trust them. No, you shouldn't and you can't. Not when it comes to playing the good teams, especially if you have to do it on the road in the playoffs. So, and that's just the huge, huge question is, what can this team be? And it's all limited. It's all confined to, all right, can they get to a point on offense where CJ is playing the way we know he's capable of playing?
Yeah.
I've got vast reservations about the offensive line, but the addition of Nico Collins and getting a full game out of him next week, we should hopefully start to see some genuine progress.
Let's hope so. All right, power ranking the power rankings. We said SI.
And Bobby Slowick. I still have my questions about Bobby Slowick.
Hey,
I got to throw his name in just to keep people from accusing me of protecting him.
That's okay. We'll talk about Slowick later this hour. I want to ask you about Slowick and how he did last night, but we'll do that. We'll do that in just a little bit. So SI.com, a distant number 4. Disrespect, I say. 3 down to 16 from SI.com. Number 3, CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. The Texans are up one big notch to 13th. This win over the Cowboys is not moving people. This is what Pete Prisco says. They seem to write things in the victory over the Cowboys on Monday night. Getting Nico Collins back is big for the offense.
Yeah,
so there you go.
It is, yeah. Pete's always very, very brief.
Very brief, yeah.
You know what? I'm mad at the Cowboys for being such a train wreck that they provided zero barometer for us as far as where the other than it was kind of confirmation that, like, all right, yeah, boy, this defense, they can take a punch, they fly around, they want to harm people physically, which is nice. It's a throwback to traditional values. Just, hey, let's get out there and try to hurt people, okay? And as long as D'Amico kind of chuckles in press conferences, nobody ever blames him for it.
No.
You know? That poor Guyton kid left the game after Jalen Petrie, a man 100 pounds lighter than himself, just came up and blasted him. Guyton coughs up the ball and then leaves the game. That is a violent bunch there on defense. I love him so much.
I do too, man. I love their vibe. All right, number 2, power ranking of the power rankings. ESPN.com, who have the Texans up one big notch from 13 to 12. And their category here is preseason hot seat, which I guess is it's about a player who's
maybe
on the hot seat.
They're following up on somebody who was on the hot seat in the preseason.
I guess so, maybe. And their preseason hot seat was Stephon Diggs. Current temperature of said hot seat, hot. And this is what DJ Bieniemy says. Diggs suffered a torn ACL in a contract year as the former Bills receiver is a free agent after the season. He averaged 62 receiving yards per game, the third lowest mark of his career. But he was still an effective number 2 option for C.J. Stroud by being tied for the team lead in touchdowns, 3, before he went down. He'll be age 31 and coming off an injury going into next season, so his market will be murky.
Yeah, they were looking back at the players they had nominated for the hot seat in their preseason rankings.
Okay.
So Stephon Diggs was who they had nominated. He'll be a free agent. I hadn't thought about that at all. You know, initially when he first got hurt, we thought, okay, well, hey, maybe the Texans get him at a discount next year. But I guess it's so far from my mind right now. Just these clear and present dangers that we've seen our offense face. And the biggest one being themselves.
Yes.
They are the clear and present danger that's right in front of them. I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs right now.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'd love to have him back at the right price, you know, and an ACL.
Well, everybody's been knocked upside the head in terms of thinking that it's as easy as just, oh, we're going to have 3,000-yard receivers because look at their names.
Yeah, that's true.
Not so simple,
no,
Bobby.
No. I could definitely see whatever money you'd earmark for Diggs, could definitely see them earmarking that also for help on the interior of the offensive line and dead money that you might need to eat to get out of some of the contracts on the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a culture problem on that offensive line, man.
Agreed.
You've got the guy, Laremy Tunsil's been leading the league every other year in penalties for the NFL, not just for offensive linemen.
No.
There's a certain there's like a lack of urgency in the way that they operate that really annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much sloppy stupidity that really annoys me. And there is that part of me that just feels like you just gotta try to salvage the young guys, but purge the coach, purge the veteran players, like get guys in there that actually want to play the way the defense plays.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's the weirdest part to me, is that offensive line existing in the same building that defense exists in, you know?
Right.
They're so culture heavy in that building, and the offensive line just...
It's non-swarm like. There's swarm to that offensive line.
It's wild.
And I can't blame the young guys. I don't know what they'd be like in a different household.
That's fair. The number one power ranking of the power rankings, they did the exact same thing ESPN.com did. I just like their font better. They're up from 13 to 12 in the Athletic.com's power rankings, the Texans are. The category for the Athletic that they talk about for each team is the heat of the seat on the head coach. And the seat temperature check on the seat for DeMeco Ryans is cold. And I think that they are actually underselling it. I think it's ice cold. I think there is zero chance that DeMeco Ryans is in any danger of losing his job at all, period. Here's what they say. DeMeco Ryans is 17-11 in Houston after trouncing the Cowboys on Monday night. Former Ryans teammate J.J. Watt appeared on the Manning cast and said he wasn't surprised by Ryan's success. Quote, I knew he'd be a great head coach. We all did when we were playing together. Watt told the anecdote, Seth, about how he bought his house across the street from DeMeco because if it was a good enough spot for DeMeco to live in, it was good enough for me. DeMeco was the perfect person to take this city back to the place where they were proud of their football team. End quote. I was on our sister station up in Dallas yesterday on their midday show, and they asked me what was the moment where the Texans, where this thing felt like it flipped, where the direction and the trajectory changed for this franchise. And I said, January 29th, 2023, that was the day they hired, or I think it's January 31st. Either way, late January, the day they hired DeMeco Ryans. That was the day that things flipped on its head here.
Against a lot of people's expectations.
Correct.
It was very, there were a lot of skepticism on all sides. People wondering if the Texans would take in a guy who had once sued them for unsafe working conditions. Why would DeMeco want to come here when he's got the chance to go to other places, all of that. It was just meant to be, Sean. That's what it is. Deeply, deeply spiritual.
You and destiny.
And superstition person.
Yeah.
That I am. Destiny and the universe.
That's right.
That's what I'm crediting.
That's right. We're getting a lot of text messages. Five hour energy fan line.
It's real quick as far as the DeMeco topic. I know there's skepticism over DeMeco's game management and everything else. Like, so much of that is hard to separate from the way the offense is operating right now. I give DeMeco 29 more passes than I give Bobby Slowick. Mm-hmm. But then the real question becomes, all right, throughout the course of the season, but then especially in the offseason, if it doesn't get fixed, like, how do you handle it? You're the head coach. The offense is not up to snuff. It is firmly and solely on you now to figure that out. But the game management stuff is just hard to separate from some of the disjointedness on offense.
Yep. Question on the text page, 5 Hour Energy fan line, 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Is it a concern that it seems to be easy for teams to get a mismatch on Azeez Alshire and the teams like the Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers will heavily exploit that?
Yeah, you know what? I saw this last week, and I know people were upset about it. People were acting like Azeez Alshire was in man coverage, like, all over the field on Amon-Ra St. Brown last week.
Yeah.
And the key play at the end of the game, he was in zone. Like, it happens, you know? There's going to be times, especially last night, they were playing zone a lot. They weren't blitzing as much as DeMeco has done in the past. And when they were blitzing, it wasn't always successful. I saw people acting like they weren't blitzing at all. I'm like, no, they're blitzing. They're just not getting home.
Yeah.
And they couldn't trust their guys in man coverage. So I don't worry about the linebackers. I think a lot of times when they're getting beat, or Jalen Petrie, when he got beat last week too, when people thought he was in zone on the one. I'm blanking on the – anyway, those are going to happen. It's up to the pass rush to get there. And in the second quarter – the pass rush wasn't quite getting there. And Look, they tried to line up and play man with Okuda
on Turpin.
Turpin.
Yep.
And it did not work.
No.
Not at all. So they went back and they played conservatively. Eventually, the pass rush took hold, and you got some really good results out of it. I'm not worried about the linebackers. I'm worried about their lack of guys who can play man coverage when Kamari Lassiter isn't out there.
Okay.
They don't have options.
They don't. Look, Stingley followed CeeDee Lamb around a lot yesterday or last night. And then, like, for one play, CeeDee Lamb's lined up with Kadar Holman on the other side, and the Cowboys immediately get a 29-yard shot downfield. Like, he doesn't have Stingley on in this play.
Yeah.
Know where we're going here. You're right. Like, the fact that that should be a huge concern. The fact that the Texans, when Kamari Lassiter goes out, they are literally pulling guys off the street to play at CB2.
Yeah, they're getting their practice squad call-ups.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, like D'Angelo.
And in the slot.
D'Angelo Ross played 100% of the snaps against the Patriots and the Packers in week 6 and 7. He was waived 2 weeks later. Played 100% of the snaps in those two games.
So that's where, you know, when I'm watching last night, look, when you're playing a bunch of cover two, you're gonna concede some receptions. What I remember, they used to refer to it as the kill zone, and I'm guessing that somebody along the way told D'Amico not to refer to it as that.
Yeah.
So in cover two, there's soft spots. And you can choose to look at them as soft spots, or you could call it a kill zone, which means that, okay, there's a spot where there's going to be an opportunity for a reception. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy, right? But as long as you've got a psychotic whack job coming up to hit him in the kidneys, then there's chances for turnovers.
Yes.
And we saw that. And that's when the offense is functioning well, like it was in the second half last night, you've got a really good pass rush that's forcing the quarterback to get the ball out quick. And guys can, when they're in zone, they can come up and make huge hits or make plays on the ball for turnovers. And that part of it worked. And I know it was frustrating in the first half, but a huge part of that was also that the one play where you're lined up and man, you got torched for a huge touchdown by Turpin.
That's right.
So I'm not worried about the linebackers. I'm worried about how few guys they have that can play man.
Yep, I would agree with that. The play that flipped this game, the play that finally made us, allowed us to breathe last night, we'll relive that because it is a super unique play. And we're giving away Texans tickets in the next segment. So stay tuned, stick around. You'll get a chance to sit in the front row in the bullpen for Sunday's game against the Tennessee Titans.